If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of St. John's Gospel, chapter 8. We want to thank you. If you're here this morning, you're a visitor. We are glad to have you with us. Amen. It is our privilege that you chose to be with us today, and we hope that you enjoy it. We have some folks from Walker County. We have some folks from other places visiting with us, and we're just proud to have you here. And I hope the folks make you feel at home, because as far as I'm concerned, you are home. Amen. One of the points of our General Assembly was simply this: we are one. We're not black, we're not white, we're not brown, we're not blue, we're not red, we're not yellow, we're one in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And because of that, we all serve the same God. Amen. Now, we did have one resolution I had a hard time voting for, and it didn't pass anyway, but it said up there that all the descendants of Ishmael that lived in the Middle East were followers of Jesus Christ. I don't even know how that got in there, because Jesus Christ is not even mentioned by most of them. They do have Palestinians that are Christians, and I agree with that. But the majority of them are Muslim. They believe in Muhammad. They worship the God Allah. They do not follow Jesus Christ, and we're not going to the same place. Hello? That offends you, I'm sorry, but you need to know there's only one way, one truth, one life, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen? And the thing today is to tell us, oh, we're all going to the same place. No, we're not. Because the only way to get to heaven is Jesus. He said, I am the door, and no man cometh to the Father except by me. And they say he was a great teacher. You know what, Mom? It was a camel salesman. Historical fact, I'm not making that up. He was a camel salesman trying to make his living. It's basically car salesman. And he married a rich widow and became a prophet. Started talking about God Allah. Next thing you know, so folks started following him, and all of a sudden you have the Islamic religion. They pray every day for the death of every Jew and every heathen. Am I not right, Alex? You heard them every morning. They'd wake us up, praying out loud, rattling our room, praying for us to die. I got first one, thought it was wonderful when I found out what they're praying. It aggravated me. I didn't want the guy to pray I was dead. He was across the road. He might come over and try to fulfill his prayer. I blowed my shofar at them, and they told me to quit. Came up, knocked on my door. Hey, you need to stop that. You're causing trouble. I'm like, he's praying me to die and I can't blow a horn at him? Come on, church, smile. And then I got a theology lesson from somebody that lives with it every day, a Jewish soldier. They started praying, and I looked at him. I said, does that not bother you? He said, who's listening? I love it. Glory. Amen. I'm not going to preach on that. That was just in my remarks. John chapter 8, verse 31. And then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. For if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, by the power of your grace, that you would reach down and touch this house with the power of your love. God, minister to us today and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, touch your neighbor's hand. Say, hey, I'm free. Glory. See, church, no matter how you look at it, only the truth of God's word can truly make you free. And only that truth you know can set you free. The problem we have is that so many people have the truth, but they don't know the truth, and therefore they are bound. And a few weeks ago, I was preaching a message, and I brought this up. And I mentioned the fact that, notice what Jesus told him. He said, you know, the truth shall make you free. And then they turned around and said, but wait a minute. We're Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage. They were held by the Egyptians for 400 years. They were held by the Babylonians for 70 years. They were in bondage to the Romans at this very moment, and yet they're sitting there going, we've never been enslaved. We're not enslaved now. And church, there are people sitting in this building right now that there are things that control your life. You can't get loose from them. They tell you when you're going to get up, when you're going to go to bed, what you're going to do with your life. And it's about time some of you woke up and realized if you'll learn this truth, it will set you free. There is nothing in this world this word of God cannot liberate you from. Amen. And I believe with all my heart that if we've ever needed anything, we need the word of God back in our lives. We don't need a substitute. We don't need a new word. We don't need something that somebody made up. We don't need psychiatry. What we need is to get back to the word of God. And if we know the truth will make us free. And once we are freed by Jesus Christ, we are free indeed. Could you say amen? Amen. Glory. Amen. Jesus promised us abundant life, John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill, destroy. But I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You know what he said? He said, I want you to live life. I don't want you to get up in the morning and be bound by religious theocracy. Well, I'm spiritual. I can't do that. You know what, church? I learned when I got in the church of God that I had to get free of some stuff. And let's face it, I didn't come in the church of God like some of y'all. I wasn't born raised church of God. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. My dad was a backslid minister. My mom was a backslid church member. The only time they went to church was when they had singings, and they only went to them because they liked to sing, and if they got spiritual, they'd leave. Glory. Hello? When we start talking about singings, we wasn't going to church. All of us went to singings at a bar or something. I mean, that's just the way my family was. I come up thinking if I could break the family records, I'd be the greatest of the bunch. So I was the baby. So I tried to do what all my brothers did and my sisters did in one person. Therefore, by 19 years old, I had ruined my life. Drug addict, alcoholic, stumbled into church trying to buy booze off an usher and got saved. God delivered me, and I'm not telling you something I read in a book. I'm not telling you something that somebody told me. I know that if you'll get this truth in your body, this truth will deliver you from the things that bind you in this earth. It will set you free. Listen, I have never been to a drug rehab center except to act as a counselor, and when I get there, I'll tell them the 13 points won't help you, but I got 66 books that'll set you free, and I got a God that can liberate you and can give you peace that pass all understanding, and you can learn how to live life and enjoy it. Glory. You can imagine the transformation of my life. I got saved. I start going to the church of God. I'd never been to a church of God in my life. I have had to the church of God. My grandparents were church of God. But just to be honest with you, I was afraid of church of God. And folks were crazy. They'd get out and run around the building and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, they're wild. I got in church, and, you know, I'm having to make changes, and let's face it, I didn't look like Church of God. Well, I could have. I could have worn my hair up in a bun. There were drastic changes taking place in my life. Nobody told me I had to get my hair cut. It was very obvious that my hair was too long. I went and got my hair cut, and I come back bald-headed. That wasn't my intentions, but that's what happened. I'm sitting there, a guy nipping my hair off, and I said, look, dude, I really want a haircut. And he said, okay. Whoom, one side was gone. He said, well, you want me to quit? I said, no, you might well finish now. So he shaved off my head and said, you want your side burned? I said, yeah. And he cut them off, laid them in my hand. Oh. Had a Fu Manchu mustache. I went home shaved. I went to church, and everybody was going, where's Ken? We can't let him get out of church. Bad as he is, he'll be gone. I'm sitting there going, I mean, even the church folks couldn't have, it blew their mind. And then I started finding out all the stuff we couldn't do, all the bondage that went along with being a Christian. And that's the way I looked at it, because that's the way everybody looks at it. I can't go to church, it's bondage. It ain't if you get free. You get free, you ain't got to worry about it. I mean, they started telling me, we don't do this, we don't do that, we don't do this, we don't go over there, we don't do this. And it always get up to, we don't look like you and we don't act like you. I finally went to the pastor. I said, what do we believe? He said, you got a wallet? I said, yeah. He got me a glass of tea. We sat down on the front porch, and Brother Duckworth started in. We don't go over here, and we don't go over there, and we don't do this, and we don't. And I'm sitting there going, my Lord, the Church of God don't. And most of you don't. You don't come on Sunday night. You don't pay your tithes regularly. I just thought I'd throw that out there. It won't hurt you. But, I mean, we got so bad at doing the don'ts, we're perfecting them. Glory. And I actually got the minutes of the Church of God, started reading, and I found out there were more things I was supposed to be doing than the things I wasn't supposed to be doing. And you know what? It became a practice that as I began to read this word and I began to find things I could do for God, that I got so bound up in the do's I didn't have time for the don'ts, so I don't have to worry about what I don't do. I just worry about what I'm supposed to be doing. And if I stay busy praying and seeking the face of God, operating in the Spirit and moving the power of God, I understand what Jesus said when he said, I want you to have life and I want you to have it more abundantly. I get up every morning with a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. I go to bed every night with a peace that passes all understanding. I live the day not worried about what's going to happen today, tomorrow, next year. Why? Because my God is in charge. Woo. I'm free. Well, preacher, you don't know about my finances. You should have seen mine for 35 years. I went 35 years with no known income. I have people tell me, I'm on fixed income. I said, I wish mine was fixed. Glory. I don't know if y'all understand it or not, but I wasn't picky. I wasn't like some evangelists. We have some evangelists, they don't mind telling you, that church isn't big enough for me. There's some of them wanted to come here and preach, and I knew they used to tell people that. They ain't never coming here. Why? Because if that little church is too little for them, this one's too big for them. I had one guy actually told me, I went and preached at a church, and we were sitting around, evangelists were talking, and they asked me how much that church gave me in the offering, and I told him, he said, you're lying. He lived an hour away. I was driving 3.5 hours to preach to that church. He lived an hour away and wouldn't preach for him because he didn't think they were big enough. And I told him, I said, I'm not lying. It's a matter of record. Just go look at it. And the evangelism director looked up and he said, I can tell you it ain't a lie, because when he showed it to me, I like to pass out myself. But you know what? It was because I went to that little church and every little church. Let's see, Jimmy and Jennifer Lane, they go to a church called South Pittsburgh. They were folks from South Pittsburgh who would drive to Alabama because I was preaching them little churches. They wanted to come hear me preach because I'd been at their little church. And because I went to each one of them little churches, when I got to one of them, folks from their churches came and they weren't little churches anymore. Folks started coming in because I wouldn't just shut them down and say, I'm not coming. They would come. And not only that, I got a God that said, if you'll go, I'll provide the way. And I can tell you that for 35 years, I never missed a payment on a bill. I'd never missed a meal I didn't intend to miss. You know why? Because I'm free. I'm not bound by whatever's going to happen today, tomorrow, the next day. I got a God who can provide my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Could you say amen? Psalms 91:14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him, and I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I'll answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Glory. God said, I'm not only going to give you long life, but I'm going to satisfy you in your life. Glory. Are you experiencing this? Is God really where he ought to be in your life? Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. It's not from a lack of a God being able to take care of you. It's a lack of a knowledge of what God. Come on, church. So many of us don't understand that old song, I'm standing on the rock. Amen. Leaning on the everlasting arm. We don't understand things. Instead of standing on the promises, we're sitting on the premises. Because we don't believe God can take care of us. We're afraid to step out and do something for him because we're afraid God can't take care of us. But I want to tell you something, church. The same God that put clothes on the back of the children of Israel in Egypt while they were out in the wilderness, the same God that provided manna for them to eat every day, the same God that put water out there for them to drink every day, is the same God I'm serving right now. And no matter what goes on in my life, my God can take care of me and he can take care of you. But we've got to come to that place where we understand truth, and it's the truth of God that will set you free from the bondage. Is your worry. Glory. Amen. Listen, Are you experiencing this today? John 8:31. To the Jews who had believed on him, Jesus said, if you hold my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Only truth will make you free. There are three keys to satisfaction in God. Amen. Let me show you what they are. First, forgive completely. Luke 17:3. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Well, preacher, I'll just be honest with you, that's hard to do. Might be, but God said this, Matthew 6:14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Isn't it amazing how we want God just to forgive us every time something goes wrong in our life, but we can't forgive people just because they keep messing up on us? Come on, church. Smile. If I loan somebody money, I do it because I'm giving them an offering. If they give it back, I got blessed. If they don't give it back, they got messed up because I won't ever loan them more money. Glory. Come on, church. I don't mind helping folks, but I'm not going to get used. Amen. But I forgive them. I forgive them the debt. I don't walk around the rest of their life billing them. I mean, once I figure they're not going to pay it, they ain't no need going back. They ain't giving it to you later either. Come on, church, smile. But you forgive. You know, God is a God that forgives, and he expects you to be that kind of person also. You've got to let it go. I mean, we got people been holding grudges for 20 years. You got to let it go. You can't get peace. They're at home snoring at night, and you're over there worried about something they did to you. Because the person you're bothering is you, not them. Come on, church, smile. Had a guy tell me one time, he said, I'll tell you how I feel about it. I ain't talking to you no more. Like, that's going to hurt my feelings. I was like, yes, let it be so. Come on, church, smile. We got people that are divorced, and they still hold grudge against that person, even though they married somebody else and they moved on with their life, and they're still sitting around worried about that person that dumped them. Oh, it really hurt me. Didn't you marry somebody else? Aren't you in love with the person you married to? Huh? Then shouldn't you just every once in a while say, thank God I got rid of that person so I could find somebody I could really love? Glory. Who would love me? I'm not in for divorce, but if you're divorced, you can't keep living in the past. You've got to move on. Come on, church, smile. Some of y'all got quiet, and I'm going to get some of you go send me an email. That's okay. I'll email back, or I'll just tear it up and delete it. The truth's the truth. Some of you are letting this stuff just bind you down. You're so hung up on what used to be. Listen, my Bible tells me this. If you do not forgive, God will not forgive you. You can't get real peace as long as you hold something against somebody else. I go a little farther. You cannot effectively pray while you've got aught against your brother. You say, now, wait a minute, preacher. You can't give me scripture for that. I got it somewhere in here. Amen. Listen. Therefore, thou wilt bring the gift to the altar. That's in Matthew 5:23. I skipped a little far in the back so you'll know what's at. And that remembers that thy brother hath aught against thee. Leave thy gift, therefore, at the altar. Go thy way first and reconcile to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift also. You see what he said? He said, hey, you go back, make it right. Both of you can be blessed. But until you get it right, then God ain't blessing either one of you. Come on, church. Amen. Whew, that's good preaching. Listen. We've got to get to that place where we understand where we are. When you forgive, you don't talk about it anymore. When you forgive, you put yourself in their shoes. When you forgive, you pray for God to bless them. Well, preacher, you just don't know. Let me tell you something. One of the greatest things I've ever seen or heard of in my life. You will know what I'm talking about if you live in the Birmingham area. A few years ago, a young man broke into the funeral home, New Horizons in Summerton, Alabama. He didn't break in. He went in. It was open. He killed the three people that was there. A casket salesman was trying to sell a casket to the guy that worked there. And the lady that worked in the office, her husband was a Church of God pastor. They had the funeral. The young man wasn't the brightest bulb in the socket. He took a bus to Atlanta, bought a ticket and got on it, When the bus got to Atlanta, they were waiting on him. They knew what bus he was on. He stepped off the bus. How'd y'all catch me? They bring him back. Brother Edwin Williams, most of us call him Pap. That's a nickname he got at youth camp. One of our retired ministers, a great man of God, he asked, could he see the young man? They first told him no. He kept pleading with them. Finally, they let him go with an armed guard, searched him, made sure he didn't have any weapons. He went to that young man's jail cell, took him by the hand, prayed for him, and said, I forgive you for what you did to my wife. I've got to, not for you, but for me, because I can't let this get between me and my God, because I served him too long to lose it now. And he forgave the young man. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Sometimes you've got to let go, not for them, but for you. You've got to let forgiveness reign in your heart so that God can move in yours. Could you say amen? Praise God. Amen. For time restraints, Psalms 103, blesses the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that the youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. If you're going to be satisfied in the power of the forgiving grace and free in God, you have got to learn how to forgive. You've got to forgive those that have done something to you. You've got to forgive yourself for what you have done to others. And you've got to forgive yourself for the fact that one day you were not where you needed to be with God, but God has now saved you. And now that I am a child of the living God, I need to understand I'm not going to be a child in the future. I'm not becoming a son of God in the rapture. But the Bible said, beloved, now we are the sons of God. And because I am his child, I got a right to be free in the power of his love. Could you say amen? Amen. Now, not only do we have to be able to forgive, but we need to focus on the feast. Preacher, what are you talking about? Psalms 23. He said, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We need the ability to stop focusing on the enemy and start focusing on the feast. A positive attitude is like rungs on the ladder. The higher you go, the better off you are. Come on, church. Y'all ever listen to country music? I'll go ahead and admit it. Some of you do. You just don't want to. I know y'all call it Christian, but it ain't. And one lady spoke to be a great Christian, and she's singing about being in the bed with somebody else's husband. I don't understand that. But I got some country music titles. These are actually titles of country music songs. If you can't live without me, then why aren't you dead? I went back to my fourth wife for the third time and gave her a second chance to make a first-class fool out of me. Glory. You're the reason our kids are ugly. That is a country song. I'm ashamed to be here, but I'm not ashamed enough to leave. If my nose was running money, honey, I'd blow it all on you. I got it off the internet. Boy. You were just a splinter as I slid down the banister of life. You ain't much fun since I quit drinking. I'd kiss you through the screen door, but it would put a strain on our love. I wouldn't take her to a dog fight if I didn't know she could win. That's country music songs. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? We all focus on bad stuff. We want to listen to this stuff because we feel like we can relate to it. And it don't have to be country songs. We're giving these other songs that's out. You know, everybody trying to be something they ain't. These gangsters acting like you got to have $1,000 to be able to walk down the street, and most of them ain't got no money because they spend it all on their teeth. Glory. Come on, church. Amen. The truth of the matter is, we're living in a world where everybody's broke. We need to realize that. Amen. I don't know where you get the idea you're supposed to be rich. I got people that say, I got a right. You ain't got a right to nothing you don't work for. I know I didn't have to say that, but that's the truth. But we need to focus on those things. Focus on the things that are good. I mean, let's face it. We got old folks in here knocking these kids for listening to their music, and you listen to your music. I mean, some of you old folks used to listen to stuff like ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ping, pang, walla, walla, bing, bang. See, some of y'all laughing because y'all know the song. I mean, when I was a kid, we had a song out, and, you know, it was like... What you are is what? What I am is what I am. You what you are is what? Huh. Y'all remember that? We had songs like that. Foolish songs. And we thought that's great. What really messed me up is I go back and hear some of those words now, and I'm going, man, I used to know what that meant. Oh, that's confusing. Now our kids are running around singing I'm So Fancy by a girl can't even talk. Glory. I don't know who she is, but she can't even carry on a good conversation. You got to have a dictionary to figure out what she's saying because it's in Ebonics or something. And I'm like, get a life. Don't look at me like that. I understand if you can't speak good English, but at least try. And don't say you're fancy if you can't. Glory. Hello? Come on, church. Smile. We got all this junk going on in our life. Then we don't understand why we're so messed up and confused. You know, I remember used to, there was a show on TV, and one of the young men on there had a perfect saying for most everybody today. I'm so confused. Glory. Because that's where most of you are. You don't know when you get up in the morning what your day's going to be like because you're trying to live it after somebody on some show or something like that. Listen, we need to get back to the point where you understand what Paul was talking about in Philippians in fourth chapter, fourth verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. You know what that properly means? Don't worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Why? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. What's he saying? He will keep your mind in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Hebrews said, cast not away therefore the confidence with which God's recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he shall come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back from perdition, but of them that believe in the saving of the soul. The fight is over when things look bleak. But if we find the feast and begin to rejoice in them, we can face it all. You know, be like the mom and let the little kids buy a hamster. Kids promise, you know how kids are. We'll take care of him. And they do for the first week or so. And then all of a sudden, mom and dad's taking care of the hamster. And they had named him Danny. So mama called them together one day and said, Danny's got to go. We got to get rid of him. Going to give him to a new home. One little boy looked up and said, I'll miss him. He's been around here a long time. The other child said, maybe he could stay if we ate less and wasn't so messy. Mom said, it's firm. I'm going to take Danny to a new home. Danny, the kids, well, I thought you said daddy. Glory. Amen. So we've got to forgive, but we also got to focus on the feast. And last but not least, we've got to forcefully advance. If you want satisfaction out of life, you need to be moving forward, overcoming obstacles. John Etheridge claims that all of us need a battle to fight, a beauty to win, and an adventure to discover, And all these require forward motion. We have no goals. We lack direction. We lose our passion. We experience no victory. We become stagnant in our growth. But if we have passion, we move. Amen. Paul said this, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything we otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." Paul said, "Hey, I want you to know, guys, I hadn't got there yet, but I'm going. I'm headed in the right direction. I'm pressing toward the mark. I'm not backing up. I'm moving forward." Could you say amen? Peter said it this way, 1 Peter 1:8 and 9, "Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though ye see him not, ye believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." Faith has goals. What do you need to accomplish this summer? What do you need by the year's end? What is it do you want to have in your life? Don't wait till they get you down to the graveyard and then have to ask yourself, "What was it I was supposed to do?" The oldest man ever lived. You ever read his epitaph? Methuselah lived 969 years and he died. He did nothing noteworthy of being written about. Lived 969 years and he died. I don't want that to be my epitaph. I don't want to live 969 years and accomplish nothing in this world that people can't look back and say, "Wait a minute, he did live. He had a life. He had goals. He attained goals. He did something. He accomplished something. He moved forward." Have you ever noticed the armor of God? Have on the breastplates of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the helmet of salvation. Not a one of those defends you from the rear. You know why? You're not supposed to be running. You're supposed to be pressing toward tomorrow. You're supposed to be going forward. And as long as you're going forward, God has given you the ability to prepare yourself not to get hit. You get shot in the back when you're running. You get shot in the back when you're giving up. You get shot in the back when you turn away. But if you'll hold on to the unchanging hand of Almighty God and move forward in Him, my God is able to take you beyond anything you ever thought you could ever do. If you sell out to Him, God is a God that will take you where you never thought you'd go, do with you what you never thought you could do, and end up in your life you never thought He could be. Glory. I got tickled a few years ago. We were in Cleveland at a conference for evangelists. And I'm going to close just a moment. Brother Perry Stone had just opened up one of his new buildings and he invited them to bring the evangelist over. And he spoke to the evangelist for a little while. And those of you who don't know who Perry Stone is, he has a worldwide ministry. He just recently built a $17 million building without any known ways of getting the money and paid for it when he built it. Because God is in his life. One young man asked the pertinent question, "How do you get a ministry like yours?" Perry said, "Get out your notebooks." He said, "Here's how I did it. I went to work with my dad on staff. I cleaned the toilets, mopped the floors, cut the grass and the hedges, carried out the garbage. Did basically anything my dad didn't want to do himself." He said, "And every once in a while he'd let me preach." Said, "Eventually some of his friends let me preach. And eventually God opened some doors for me and I began to do ministry." One young man looked up and he said, "Well, that ain't what I wanted to hear." He said, "I know. You thought everybody just gonna run up there and they're gonna hand you this golden tray and you just, whoo, you're a big time evangelist." He said, "But it doesn't happen that way. Everybody starts at the bottom of the ladder and climbs the ladder, and ever how far you go is how far you intend to go and how far God has for you to go. And until you learn to do that, you will never make it to the top." Can I tell you, church, that we've got people that keep sitting around waiting, trying to figure out who got who and what got what. Some of y'all so busy on Facebook keeping up with everybody else, you can't even keep your own life going. I don't need to know what you did before you went to bed last night, and I could care less. That's why I'm not on Facebook. Amen. I'm not on Facebook. I'm not on MySpace. I don't do any of that. If you've got a message for me, come to my face and we'll talk about it. But I don't need you to be telling me all this other junk on some stupid thing so that I can keep up with it. I got a life. I don't need to get in your business. Somebody come the other day showing me a picture of some girl in a bikini like I needed to see it. I could care less if that girl had on a bikini. That's her business between her and God. Wasn't much of a bikini to begin with. Glory. Hello. Come on, church. We need to get to that place where we understand. I need to focus on God. I need to head toward God. I need to focus on where God wants me to be. I want to get somewhere one day, cross a place called the golden threshold, and hear him say, well done, my good and my faithful servant. And for that to happen, I got to keep pressing toward the mark. I got to keep doing what he's called me to do. I got to keep reaching souls. Amen, church. Listen, I'm not about trying to get in anybody's business. I just want to make us all get to heaven. Come on, church. And I know some of y'all ain't got no life. I could leave us alone, but I really worry about some of y'all. Because you can't live without that phone or the computer. Oh, look, did you see what so-and-so did? I don't care. If God needs me to know, I'll find out. I got preachers call me all the time. Hey, did you hear about so-and-so? Now, if it's somebody needing prayer, that's one thing. But don't call me and tell me about problems they're having and want me to get upset about it. Come on, church. Now, the big thing is who's moving where? Who's going where? I'm not going anywhere, so I don't care. Oh, that disappointed some of y'all. I could tell y'all, we thought he was gone. Glory. I could have gone to Alaska as a youth director. I thought it'd be nice. $500 a month, pastor church. Frida wouldn't have gone, but hey. I had somebody ask me if I wanted to go to North Dakota to pastor church. I said I would, but they don't even go to North Dakota. I'll be by myself. I'd be where the buffalo roam. They'd be the only ones around. Glory. Church, we got to keep pressing forward. Some of us have gotten stagnant where we are, and we need to understand we're not through yet. Until we finish our course, until we've run our race. Somebody asked me the other day, he said, are you through? And I said, not yet. Are you going to retire? I said, I hope not. One of them said, what are you talking about? I said, I hope I get to write the epitaph that Paul wrote tonight before he died. He knows his head's coming off the next morning. He knows he ain't living past the guillotine dropping. And he writes to the church and he says, I've run my race. I have kept the faith. But now there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me, but not only me, but all those that make it in. When I get to that point, I'll be ready to go. Brother Earl Hall dying with cancer. Ken has been here and preached for us, his son. They kept praying for his dad. Finally, one day, his dad looked at him. He said, son, I've been trying to get here for 30-something years, and you keep praying me out of it. Let me go. I'm ready. All of it's over. If God wants to heal me, that's fine. But if he's not going to heal me, let me go to that place I've been trying to get to. Amen. That's the way I want to be. I'm in no hurry to go. But I'm not afraid of going. And for that reason, I've got liberty, and I've got peace, and I've got power. Because you know what? I'm not waiting on God to do something extra in my life. He saved me. He sanctified me. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. He gave me a life that I don't deserve, and he's blessing me every day. And because of that, I'm free. I'm in the power of his love, and I'm happy. And that's what it's all about. Would you stand with me all over the house? Father in heaven, I thank you this morning, God, for your word. Master, you said it's not by might nor by power, but by thy Spirit, saith God. Father, move on us with your love. Touch us with your fire. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.